Well, if you're like most of the world over this past week, you've probably spent a bit of time watching the Olympics. It can be, in fact, a little bit addictive, I find. But it's one of my favorite times. I love sports, and so the Olympics is one of my favorite times. And I think partly just I like the fact that I get to watch sports that otherwise I would, you know, never sit around and watch. It's not like I'm normally flipping through the channels and, you know, hey, I wonder if there's some diving on ESPN. It just doesn't happen. But when the Olympics are on, I kind of like the diving. Maybe it's because I like to swim and I grew up as a lifeguard. But I mean, you look at these divers, and they're doing these crazy things. I mean, it's like the announcers know exactly what they're going to do. Now attempting a triple inverse somersault with a three half twist with toes pointed. I'm like, and they make it look so easy, and they're just flipping everywhere. And if I tried that, I would probably belly flop and kill myself. I know, because I've practically done that. I would start off on the little boards, and the high dive scared me to death. So this week, they're starting the my favorite diving event, the 10-meter platform. I think I like it because there's always this chance that I think they're going to kill themselves. But they don't. They always seem to make it look so effortless and easy. And maybe that's what makes it so exciting, that we look at them and we're like, wow. I mean, look what they can do. I could never do that. That's so impressive. And maybe just a little bit behind the impressiveness of what we see is when they give us the stories about how the athletes had to train and everything that went into it. I mean, we look at Lochte and Michael Phelps, and, you know, that's getting up, what they said, 4 a.m. every day to swim in a cold pool. I mean, how many of us would do that? And yet, they do it. And so a part of us, I think, we admire the great dedication that we know that it takes to get a gold medal in the Olympics. The Olympics truly inspire us when we see just what we could accomplish and what these people have accomplished. But that, if you think about it, is just sport. They're the Olympic Games, and you win a gold medal. I assume it's real gold. It's pretty big. But if you listen, Lochte was doing an interview the other day, and they were trying to get, why would you do all this? And he points to his gold medal, and he's like, this. I want more of these. That's why I keep doing it. All that for a gold medal. Jesus tells us in the scripture readings today, don't work for food that perishes, things that don't last. It's not that winning a gold medal isn't great, but I think it's important that we realize that we too are called to be athletes. Maybe we look at people swimming and diving and we're like, well, I could never do that. Fair enough, maybe. But we are called to be, as the early church referred to all the baptized, athletes for Christ. Athletes for Christ. That's how the early church referred to Christians. Because in our life, it's not easy to be a Christian. We are competing for a prize much greater than an Olympic gold medal. The prize, we hope, is where, as Jesus says, it's in eternity. It's heaven. That's the great prize of the Christian struggle. But how many times do we go through life thinking that somehow it ought to be easy? We don't do that with sports. If somebody achieves something great, nobody just hands anybody a gold medal. Part of why we enjoy it is because we know how hard that was. Now, I'm not saying that we in any way win heaven on our own. I mean, as one of my seminary professors said, you could say that, but you'd be a heretic, because it's not what we believe. We can't do it on our own. But there's something really wrong if we think that you have to work that hard to get a gold medal, but somehow heaven is just going to be handed to us, as if we could just kind of whims our way through life and run out the clock, and then at the end, we just all go to heaven. It's not the way it is. It requires great effort, great work, at least as much work as it would take to win a mere gold medal, if we're going to find ourselves in heaven. Question then is, well, how do we do it? If we're supposed to be athletes for Christ, you know, we might find ourselves asking, like in the gospel, what can we do to accomplish the works of God? Consider again those divers that go from 10 meters and flip all over the place. You know, they didn't start that way. Can you imagine if you sent your little seven-year-old and said, okay, today we're going to learn how to dive. So go ahead, climb on up and do some flipping while you fall and try to land head first. Well, no one would do that. You'd be crazy. You start a little bit at a time. Those swimmers, divers, they started by going up to the side of the pool scared to death when they're like 5 years old and having mom or their teacher out there, and they jump and they catch them. And then eventually they learn how to dive. And one little step at a time, overcoming one fear, going back and practicing again and again, and yes, probably belly flopping once in a while and not getting it quite right. That's the way of the world of sport, and it's that way in the Christian life too. One little step at a time. If we're athletes, that means we're in training, because none of us are perfect. The training of the Christian athlete is a lot to do with a common theme in our readings today. All these desires that we've got. See, we're pulled lots of directions, and there's only one of two ways to go. Either you will give in to every desire that you've got and become a slave to your own passions, or little by little you struggle to order your passions in a right way and you become a victor, one that makes it look easy, just like those athletes make it look so easy to do what they do. The more we order our passions, our desires, towards what is truly good and perfect, the better we get at it. So much so that the church has a word for this. We call it virtue. Virtue is essentially a supernatural good habit, such that when faced with temptation, it doesn't even faze you. You know, you've learned to choose the right thing so many times that virtue says that now you just do it easily and even with joy, to make it look easy. The truth is, we can't do without our desires. They're not bad. All the desires that God gave us are good. But if we just do the free liberation thing and do whatever we want, we don't wind up more free. We wind up a slave to our passions. Jesus talks about this desire in the gospel. He says, your desire is on a base level. You want food. You're following me because I fed you. And he tries to lift them and said, no, you want me, but you want heaven ultimately. You want God. That's what's behind all our desires too. We want happiness forever. The question is, how will we get there? We have to do it the same way any good athlete would do it, training. A little bit at a time, one good decision after another after another. You know, the Olympics have that great kind of opening ceremony to mark the beginning of the games, to know that the competition has begun. In the Christian life, we kind of have our opening ceremony too, you know. We call it baptism. And one of the things that I like about the ritual of baptism is that we take the little baby often, and we put the oil of catechumens on them. And we smear it all over their chest. And in the early days of the church, you would have completely drenched in the oil of catechumens. This oil is to symbolize limbering up and strengthening for the fight against evil of a Christian athlete. You see, just athletes all the time would put oil on their muscles to kind of get them ready for competition. I mean, we still do that today. We pay a lot more and we call it sports cream probably. But it's oil and it's designed to kind of make us loose and ready. That's that sign in baptism. Protection to be an athlete of Christ fighting against evil. The other thing I like about the opening ceremonies is there's that Olympic flame. You know, they start the flame in a big fire on Mount Olympus, and then there's that Olympic torch relay where they carry the Olympic flame all over the world. And then in beautiful ceremony at the Olympics, the torch is finally passed on to the last person who lights the Olympic cauldron, and the games are declared open for competition. I think we need to remember that moment of our baptism, that that's when we entered the competition. We've got to get serious about our training if we expect to win the gold medal of eternal life. We do, in baptism, a fire that we light on Easter. We bless our Easter candle. And then, maybe similar to the Olympics, we take that little baptismal candle and we light the baptism candle from the Easter candle, that torch, and pass the torch, the flame of faith, on to this new little athlete of Christ, entrusted to their trainers, their parents and godparents. The priest says as he does that, receive the light of Christ. Receive the light of Christ. Perhaps he could just as well be saying, let the games begin.